Okay, welcome everybody. This is our November 7th meeting, and we do have a couple of guests here that will present in just a minute, and I think everybody else is in here as well. So, good morning, welcome. Thank y'all for coming. And we are going to start this morning with presentations from the Texas Department of State Health Services and the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Council. And they'll share what they have for us, and then we'll move on to our other business. Go ahead.
I have a couple of handouts. One is about some of the services that we provide for schools, and this one is just how to access our audiovisual library. It's one of the slides, and that way, you know, if you're interested in that, you don't have to write it down. So,
you guys want to pass them around?
So, I think Marlene came and talked to you last year, and she probably made this presentation, so it's very familiar. She did this presentation. I just wanted to give a quick refresher of what I can offer your interest, if you're interested. So, I'm Kim. I'm a nurse with the Texas Department of State Health Services. I've been here for 3 months, so I'm brand new. My background is 28 years in labor and delivery. So this, I was a hospital nurse for a long time. So I'm brand new to this educating and to this role. But I'm trying hard to figure everything out. So if you guys have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me. If I don't know them, I can find out the answer.
Should just be able to touch the screen. Okay, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah, and you got the mouse. I can't help you. Yep.
There we go. I'm with the Health and Wellness Division. Also do local public health number 8. We envision a Texas where all children are healthy and ready to learn and prepared to make healthy lifelong choices. Our mission is to support education and public health partners with impacting school health using the whole school, whole community, whole child approach. And you guys, I'm sure, heard of that. That's what the CDC puts out. And this is just on the CDC website. And it takes, you know, a whole community to help raise these children. And a snapshot of student health. We all know that smoking, vaping is prevalent in middle school, high school. I personally think these numbers are low. I come from North Dallas, McKinney area, so large high schools. There were 3 high schools in our area. My son's graduating classes were all over 400 people. So there was a lot of smoking, vaping, drugs in that area. I don't know in smaller communities what you guys are seeing. I'm still trying to learn what your needs are. But according to this, 16% of high school students and 4% of middle school students currently use a tobacco product, with e-cigarettes, vaping is the most popular. And then drugs and alcohol, it says 7% of Texas teens report using drugs. Of those who used drugs in the last month, 83% report using marijuana. Again, I feel like that's much higher than what the teens are reporting. At least it was in my area. My son would come home from school and tell me that he wouldn't go to the restroom in his high school because that's where people were doing drugs. He had friends coming to class high, and these were the smart kids in the advanced classes, you know, just fine. So, and then there's just more statistics. 46% of U.S. high school students did not use a condom last time they had sex. I can't teach sex education. I have to teach abstinence through my state job, but coming from my background in labor and delivery, this number horrifies me. Anyway, 1 in 7 high school students misuse prescription opioids, and we all know that the fentanyl crisis that's coming, you'll hear a lot about Percocet being laced with fentanyl. As you know, there are also Adderall, which you can get, you know, on social media, Adderall for ADHD or to help you study, that's been laced with fentanyl. Valium, Xanax, and you're probably going to talk a lot about this. So it's not just this prescription opioids now anymore, and it's not just fentanyl. They're being laced with, I can't remember how to say it, xylazine. It's a veterinary veterinary animal product that we're lacing the drugs with now, and Narcan doesn't work on it. So our resources, we have various presentations. I can come into your schools and do most of our presentations are for middle school and high school students. I do have one on vaping that would be appropriate for upper elementary, like fourth and fifth grade. I'm working on one for bullying for upper elementary too. But we have presentations on fishing, on the opioid epidemic, use of Narcan, mental health, bullying, digital citizenship. We have different classes and trainings that we can come in to do. The water safety class, CPR, suicide prevention for educators, coaching boys into men, also for educators. We have different programs I can give you information on. Teens in the driver's seat, Learn, Grow, Eat, Go, Sandy Hook program. I have a ton of different educational materials I can get to you. Posters, booklets, pamphlets, brochures, handouts, all sorts of stuff. I just recently, they had a parent, kind of like a parent open house at Nacogdoches ISD on a Saturday. I was unable to attend, but they asked for information on fentanyl and Narcan. So I got them a bunch of handouts on fentanyl and Narcan, made some different posters, and that way they could present it at their open house. But had I been available, I could have gone in and done like a 15, 20 minute presentation to their parents about the use of opioids and Narcan, but I was out of town. Anyway, we also have our library where you have DVD rental, which I think is kind of going out of popularity, but we do have access to online streaming videos now too. And then just goes through some of the different programs. We have educational presentations for teen drivers on seatbelt safety, distracted driving, speeding. That's all one presentation. One of the programs we can give you information on is called Teens in the Driver's Seat. It does have to be have a staff member that kind of serves as a sponsor. What some schools have done is they've implemented this program through their National Honor Society. So the National Honor Society students kind of do the Teens in the Driver's Seat. And it's just a neat program. I don't want to take up too much time, but it's a great program, and it's about teens educating other teens about safe driving, which generally, if a teen is telling another teen about safe driving, they're going to listen more than if I'm up there talking to them. And then we have mental health presentations. It's real. Teens and mental health have a dose that's how to use your own body happiness chemicals to, you know, help with mental health, exercise, diet. These are two different presentations we can give to school students. There's bullying presentations. And most of our presentation can be geared not only to students, but I can give them to parents or teachers too. There's a teen mental health impact, and that's more for educators and adults. It just talks about major health issues and mental health crisis, and there's a suicide prevention training too. ASK, Stay With Them, Know Your Resources is the ASK program, and it's here, and it's for educators to help learn about how to talk to your teenagers about suicide and how to recognize the warning signs. Tons of different materials on car seats, bicycle safety, ATV safety, water safety. We just did CPR training for RUSC ISD for all of the members of RUSC ISD. We went and did CPR training and Narcan administration with them. And then different materials I can give you. I can't teach it, but I can give you lots of educational materials about sexually transmitted infections, diabetes education, nutrition education, the Learn, Grow, Eat, Go program that is sponsored through AgriLife, Texas A&M, and it's a great little program that you can get together with your elementary, it's nice for elementary, and they come and they build a garden, and so it helps the kids learn how to grow their own food and know the right foods to eat. And then, of course, I have presentations on vaping, on the opioid epidemic, fentanyl, on Narcan, and on internet safety. Our library resources. Like I said, there's DVDs that you can rent out. I give you the handout on how to access the DVDs. You can have them for 2 weeks at a time. It has all sorts of, I mean, it's just, there's a ton of DVDs, but I know that's sort of going out of, you know, not very many people show actual DVDs anymore, but we do have a streaming library now too. That you guys can go. Any teacher can register. It's free of service, and then you can access the films on demand. And so every month I get more information from the library that they've added more titles to it. So sorry. And then besides that, other services I provide is immunizations. And I already talked to Lindsay about that. We do immunizations free. So if you have somebody that has Medicaid, no insurance, underinsured, that can come to our office and get immunizations. Social services, we provide car seats. So if you have a family that's in need of a car seat, it's the same. And Lindsay, it's the same number as on the vaccination record. Or you can always call my number too. And so we do provide car seats free of charge. So if you have a family in need, you can send them our way. And then we treat tuberculosis. We do the tuberculosis for all of Nacogdoches County and the surrounding counties. I myself cover Nacogdoches County, Sabine County, Shelby County, and San Augustine County as far as going out and being able to educate in these schools. So, and that's it. I'm sorry if I talked too long.
You're fine.
And that's it. Do you guys have any questions? I know that was like a repeat of what Marlene kind of went over with you, but I just wanted to say, hey, I'm here if you need me, or if you, if not just a presentation, I can always supply you with educational materials, school fairs. I'm here.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Let me get this other one set up.
Okay, this is Kyla Skelton, and she's going to do a presentation. She's with the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Council, and she's going to share some information with us now.
Yes, my presentation will be over vaping. Vaping. Vaping and e-cigarettes. And it's not very long. So we're just going to go over what vaping and e-cigarettes are. She kind of went over that a little bit, but I'm also going to go over it. I just have some different things. So, has anyone ever heard that some e-cigarettes are safe for youth? Generally, what the youth tend to take in is that, oh, it's safe because it's water vapor. We don't, you know, we're fine. We can smoke this, right? And it's the cool thing to do. So, newsflash, it's not. That is false. I actually have some stuff notated on this. Hold on, give me just a second. Now, this is false because there are certain chemicals in vapes that are bad for us. PG, propylene glycol, is what they call it. It's a substance that they put in food, but it's unsafe when you use it in vaping. So. Okay, so I don't know if anybody in here knows the history behind vaping or how it started, but a company called Juul was where vaping originally began. The reason that Juul was created was because the two founders wanted to create a device that could wean them off smoking cigarettes, because what vaping is used for, what it was supposed to be used for, was to wean people off, right? So what it does, it has 90% less carcinogens in it than regular cigarettes do. And at the time it was created in 2015, smoking was at an all-time low, smoking cigarettes. Like, it had gone down dramatically over the years. So what happened is when they created this, they weren't getting the amount of sales that they were looking for. So they began marketing to the youth, to our youth. And what they did by taking these carcinogens out of the vapes, they added more nicotine so you could still feel the same amount of that high or whatever you want to call it. And the youth, when they began using it, they began getting more addicted to it because of the high amount of nicotine in it. So what happened was they created a crisis in itself by creating these vapes because they got our youth addicted to it. And that's where it started in 2015. If you're interested in learning more about it, you can go on Netflix. There's actually a documentary about Juul, and they've been going through a lawsuit for years now because of the crisis. Like, the government has intervened. And no matter what you call it, it's still an e-cigarette. They all have the same chemicals in them, even though it's considered just flavors or water vapor, it's not. Just because it says watermelon e-cigarette doesn't mean that it's not a vape. They all are the same thing. Okay, would anybody in here voluntarily inhale these?
Ew.
No.
Ew.
No. Well, they have some of these same ingredients that are in these aerosol sprays in vapes. So I like to use this when I go and talk to the kids. And they're always like, no, why would we do that? And I'm like, well, I mean, you kind of are. Well, some of y'all are, you know. So, I'm not going to want to take those in. So there are 2,890 hospitalized with EVALI. If you don't know what EVALI is, it is a lung disorder that comes from vaping. There is no cure for it. And if you get it, there's nothing they can do about it. 68 reported deaths. This was a 2022 census report. They have not reported on this since. But if you look at how many people are actually going to the doctor these days with the lack of health care, it makes sense why there hasn't been many reports about it. 15% were younger than 18 years old, which brings me to my next slide. These are the deaths that have happened and in the states that they've happened in from EVALI. Just the visual representation. It's better when you can look at it, in my opinion. This was the youngest person to die from EVALI. His name was Solomon Isaiah Wynn, born June 5th, 2008, died June 17th, 2023. So this is recent. Now, there's also a case in Dallas, Texas, of a child who was 15 as well, who died from the same thing. I could not find his obituary or anything in regard to it except news reports. His family kept it pretty under wraps. But this young man's mom wanted to spread awareness. So I feel like seeing him and seeing, you know, a person who never got to go experience life because they were vaping, it gives you realization in the crisis that we're in, you know what I mean? So, all right. These are my sources, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, World Health Organization, and American Lung Association. They all have their hand in vaping, of course. They have all the statistics about vaping, so I pay close attention to what they publish. And that's the end of the presentation. Does anybody have any questions?
I may have a question or a comment. I may be the only one in here that's not necessarily familiar with the EVALI.
Mm-hmm.
And so how is that information being provided to, I mean, I know you come to schools, but how is that being disseminated to just the public?
So it's really not. Okay. Unless you're going looking for it, it's not. I actually did not know that there was a lung disease associated with vaping. And you can also develop this lung disease in as little as an hour after smoking a vape. So it's something that you really have to go look for. I was doing research to do this presentation for you guys because I wanted to center it to adults instead of, because I'm normally talking to teenagers. So I wanted to make it different coming to you guys, but I had to find this information for myself. And it's out there, but you have to definitely go look for it. It's not going to find its way to you. And I wish there was more coverage on it, maybe in like the news or something, but sure. There's really not. It's really not. Anybody else? Well, if you guys would like for me to come and do a presentation on this, I find that giving real-time information and examples like the Solomon, the young boy, I feel like when you put that in front of teenagers, it kind of changes their mind a little bit because a lot of the time they'll just sit there and be like, they'll look at you like this the whole time you're doing a presentation. And I mean, that's just, you know, teens. But they feel differently when they see it in their face, especially someone that could be them. So, and Solomon, the boy that you've seen, he was not vaping for long. It was probably 2 days, I believe, before he showed up. Yes. And his mom, there's a whole story about it, so you guys can go look it up. But it's pretty interesting.
What's the average age of these kids start doing this?
12.
Mm. We're looking at...
Has his mom started speaking out about
it? Now she got a little bit of news coverage, but it really hasn't been all over the place.
Is he from Texas?
No, he's not.
He's not.
He's from Cincinnati.
Oh.
So there's an actual. When you take your kid, or they're hospitalized, to the ER or to the doctor's office, I mean, there's an actual diagnosis called that. Like, they actually diagnose them. Because I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I've heard people say, you know, of course, and I tell my kids, too,
right.
You could die from this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you get lung disease, but I've never heard of that specific, actually a diagnosis.
Yeah, I never knew. I kid you not. I was going through making this presentation, and I was looking for stuff to put in it, and I wanted the hard facts. So I got on Centers Disease Control website, and I read that there's an actual lung disease that you get from vaping, and you can develop it up to an hour after smoking a vape. And that just baffled me. Like, in what world, you know, would you think that that would happen? But it's a real thing. And there's actually symptoms. It's nausea, diarrhea, constant coughing, wheezing, and you can get it extremely quick.
So what's the difference? Like, what causes it to happen so quickly versus just cigarettes? Yeah.
I mean, would say it's the aerosols in it, the chemicals. And also, a lot of these teens, they smoke an entire vape in one day. An entire vape is like 3 packs of cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Especially those Juul vapes. And then with the high concentration of nicotine, it's just even worse. Because what it does is their bodies build up this tolerance, so they become more and more addicted because the dopamine in their brain is being released so much when they're smoking the vapes, and they become more and more addicted to it. So they're smoking, three vapes a day, if that? So.
Yeah, it's very eye-opening.
Yeah.
So how are vapes so easily accessible?
Well, a lot of kids get them from people who are older than them. They'll pay the money to go get it for them, or shops just aren't IDing like they should be doing. They're not carding the kids. They go in, they get it, and they leave, and they continue to go back. And a lot of these retailers who sell it, they don't really care. They just want the money. They don't really care about how old they are. Now, some do, some card them, but most of the time they don't.
So you can mix your own vapes now.
What? So, you make your own?
In fact, we just had a boy in Warren, Texas, and he actually died from vaping. And he wasn't vaping nicotine, though. I believe he was under the impression that he was vaping marijuana, but there was fentanyl in it, and he died. This was about a month ago. And I will actually be going to their school to do a presentation for them because the principal reached out and she said one of our students passed away. He was at a gas station and he died.
Well, so
it's sad. It's a real crisis for him.
Yeah. My kids say that older people, like, let's just say kids that they know that have older siblings, well, that are of age, you know, that can go buy it, will go buy the vapes and then give them to the younger siblings. And the younger siblings then sell them to, you know,
absolutely,
their peers.
And not only that, there are predators online who will offer them vapes. They'll be like, oh, well, if you meet me, I can give you the vape. And we've just seen so much from, like, I met with a sheriff from Nacogdoches County, and we were talking about it, and he said that they had a student who had a vape, and it was laced with fentanyl, and one of the officers, they took it from the child, and I guess it seeped into his pores, and he instantly fell out. Mm-hmm. Instantly. Heart stopped. Thank God. He's fine. He's recovering, but it seeping through his pores made him fall out. His heart stopped. So, and they administered Narcan. But it's bad.
Sad.
How old do you have to be to legally buy one? Is it 18?
21. Yes,
okay.
The state changed the age to 21, unless you're in the military, which doesn't make it any better. You're in the military. You can buy vapes and cigarettes, but... And there's a clause that says that if the law was passed when you were 18 and you were already buying cigarettes, you can still buy them.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
Any more questions?
What else do you think schools could be doing? Do you have any ideas on that?
So a lot of our school districts, they will, like, for instance, we have a school who... They take up the vapes from the children and they put them in DAEP for 3 weeks or something like that.
Is that a new law?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they come back, but that doesn't stop them. I think the main thing is just prevention. Like, you really have to talk to them. You have to show them the facts. Because a lot of them will be like, I call BS. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So you have to prove it. With things like this, showing them a kid who died that are their age or that's younger than them.
Are there any, like, curriculums out there that are...
Yeah, so we actually, ADAC sends our PRC people, our youth advisors, they send them out to these schools. That way they can talk to them about the dangers of vaping, and they actually have a full curriculum on it. And they have a sit-in class, like, where our people go and teach an actual class for them. And they come and sit in and do it. Like, at my kid's school, Central Elementary in Pollock, they come out and they go to they have an entire class, and the kids sit in the class for an hour, like, when they switch, just like a normal class. And they're out there every day. So,
one day. How long is this class?
All the time, whenever you request it. A lot of schools request it, but different people are in different regions. They do go to each school one time a week, so that way they can get all the grades and put them into the class. That way everybody can retain the same information.
Is that like a 9-week course or a semester?
Yeah, there
course?
Are. There. So there's some of them do 6-week courses, some of them do 9-week courses. I'm really not in their thing. Okay. So I don't know, but I don't know exactly what they're teaching, but I do know that they're teaching things that are similar to this. And they have different curriculums based on the age groups. But like Charlotte, she's one of our YPI people, and she goes to speak to the elementary kids, and hers are 6 weeks. The older kids are longer, though.